And good afternoon, and welcome to episode number 19 of Tom Harris USA. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois, and a beautiful summer day it is. Not too hot, not too windy, nice and breezy today, not too humid. It's actually a very nice day to be out and about. So, of course, I'm sitting inside doing a podcast. This was supposed to be the tarot episode. I was going to do it this time. However, I have put that off until the next show. And for a number of reasons, a number of issues have come up over the last few days, and I kind of feel the need to talk about these things while my thoughts on them are still kind of fresh. And it's just been a really weird week all around, and so I'd talk about that a little bit. But before I get into all that, I have finally read the book that Bulent sent me. I know I mentioned that probably way back in episode 7 or something. that Bulent sent me a book called Inside Facebook, and it was written by one of the engineers that helped design Facebook and get the whole show on the road. It's a quick read, about 125 pages. It took me about a half an hour to read it. I wasn't particularly interested. But I am kind of glad I read it. It does tell you a little bit about how the whole shebang got started and how the engineers kind of fed off each other, and says something about the personal interactions among the people who worked at Facebook and helped develop it from earlier social networking sites and at various Ivy League schools. And it is very interesting to read. The subject matter, though, doesn't excite me very much, and I do thank Bulent for sending me the book. It is kind of interesting, but I found myself asking the question throughout the entire thing: why did you write this? The book didn't really seem to have a point, and maybe this is why it's an ebook and not, you know, a real published book. I found the use of putting all the links in to be very annoying. I don't know why that is. You know, and half the links are dead anyway. So, the book was published in 2006. And 2006 is an eternity ago in the world of computers. It just seems that it took me longer to read it than I had intended, but I think even since 2006, the whole social networking thing has changed. If anything, though, you know, Facebook has become much larger than it was before. So by that standard, obviously, they set down this basic framework, have kind of run with that and become a highly successful company. And obviously, you know, if you are driven and you have the talent, and, you know, and if you don't have the talent, at least you hire people with talent. There's a lot of money to be made on the web, but I think that it's not as easy as maybe some make it sound, because what you need, I guess, is to fill a need, and you need a market for your product. And if there's something similar, now a lot of people are out there doing social networking sites because sites like MySpace and Facebook and even LiveJournal, even though that's kind of old now and no, it doesn't have as many users as it used to have, all these things, you know, were highly successful. Now, if you're just going to imitate one of those business models, you might do okay, but you're not going to become a billionaire unless you have something new to offer. So in order to be, you know, as highly successful an entrepreneur as that, you need to come up with something that nobody else has been able to come up with. That's the hard part. It's easy to be imitative and maybe make a few bucks. It's much harder to be a trailblazer. And I guess that, you know, that's true in any field of study that you could possibly imagine. So in that regard, I did find the book very interesting. And if you're interested, it's called Inside the Internet. And I believe the guy's name is Carol Buron. And so if you have an opportunity to read it, feel free. So next show is going to be the tarot show. And you can contact me again, like I said, if you want a tarot reading done. I've been practicing with the tarot cards, actually, for the last couple of days, because it has been quite a while since I've done anything like that. And the tarot cards have been kind of sitting unshuffled for quite some time. They do have some interesting observations to make. They will occur on the next show, which, incidentally, is episode number 20. It's coming up in the next few shows after that. We're going to have an expose of Noah's Ark. That should be exciting. So what else do I have to talk about today? Well, this is one damn good cup of coffee I have here. It is, actually. I went to went down to the coffee shop and got a coffee. And I often do this on days off. Today is a Saturday, and I went and got some coffee. And it was a different guy there today making the coffee. I've never seen him in there before. Young guy did the coffee, and it's a lot better than the coffees I've gotten there recently from the other baristas. So, good stuff. Damn good cup of coffee. And you may have noticed that I have some new music this week. I have a few new Crimson Twins pieces that I will be rotating out. I kind of get tired of the pieces that I was using, though I'm going to continue to use them now and then, but I kind of just wanted a little more variety. So I do have a couple new Crimson Twins pieces I'll be using for the theme. I never really intended to use the same two songs over and over again. And the Crimson Twins have done a lot of really, really interesting stuff that I think it makes very good music for the show. So I do have a couple new pieces, and that has been something that I've been working on. What actually kind of prompted that was that I accidentally deleted the templates that I was using for the show. And I had two templates. One had one song on it, and the other had another song on it. And I would just kind of use them interchangeably for the show. And I was ending up with I have a lot of space on my hard drive and it seemed like I was getting short. And I did have a lot of these temporary audio files that go into making the show take up a lot of room. And I went in and I purged the working files and just kept the MP3s. I have an MP3 of all the shows I've done, but I accidentally deleted my working files, and so I had to make new ones. So I took that as a nice opportunity to introduce some new music to the show. But I really kind of, this week has been a really weird week, and it's kind of topped off by the death of Michael Jackson. And I wasn't going to do a show about Michael Jackson, because to be honest, I've never really been a Michael Jackson fan. I, of course, like everybody else in the 80s, was very aware of the man and his work. And to, of course, a certain extent, I'm of an age that grew up in the 60s and 70s. And I remember the Jackson 5. And I remember the impact they had. I wasn't a big Jackson 5 fan either, to be honest. I liked Motown music, but I was more into, the Supremes and the Ronettes and the girl groups, I guess, and not so much into the Jackson 5. I mean, this is obviously somebody who had a huge influence on the music business in the 1980s. A lot of that had to do with, the fact that he had his own unique vision, his own unique way of working. And I think that really where Michael Jackson became successful in his own right was when he started working with Quincy Jones and did Off the Wall and Thriller and Bad, obviously, the three of the biggest selling albums of all time. Thriller still being the biggest selling album of all time. Obviously, this is somebody with a tremendous, artistic talent. And one of the things that I've been kind of noticing with this whole thing with Michael Jackson dying is the negativity coming out all over the place about this man. Now, Michael Jackson was not some godlike figure. He's a human being, and certainly had human weaknesses, and he was far from normal. I think that that's obvious to everybody. But the cult of celebrity is always something that it distorts one's achievements or one's weaknesses or one's, you know, the actions that one takes that weren't good. And I wasn't going to talk about Michael Jackson at all, but I think it's interesting to bring up the way that the press treats people, and especially people who are not normal. But that's true. Excuse the chair there, chair creaking as I move around. I'm just kind of trying to sit here and become comfortable. And my desk chair, for some reason, is making a lot of noise. It's amazing to me just the venom that's being directed towards Michael Jackson, you know, even after his death. It seems to me that the European media has been a lot more sympathetic and a lot more respectful, and the American media is tending to concentrate on his personal problems. Now, that's probably not true across the board, because I haven't been watching every single bit of material that's coming out about Michael Jackson's death. But that does seem to be a general trend. In America, we love to tear down our celebrities. And a lot of it, of course, is based on his allegations of sexual abuse of children. And I say allegations because nobody has ever come forward with any compelling evidence that he actually did abuse any children. And I know that people say, well, no, of course there's proof. Yeah, but he was indicted. Well, yeah, but he was found innocent. I think that what Michael Jackson is guilty of, was guilty of, is of being a very poor judge of his actions, making very poor choices that could be construed to be very questionable in nature. Do I think that Michael Jackson was a boy lover? Well, probably he was. Was he stupid enough to actually molest anybody? I don't think so. But just because you are attracted to kids doesn't mean that you're going to molest somebody. And I think that you know, the media has been very harsh on Michael Jackson over the years. Now, I'm seeing some now. You know, I'm seeing now some of the stories are coming out, and they are being more respectful now that he's dead. You know, it would have been nice for him to see some of that while he was alive. But people just started to think of him as, you know, this sort of freak. Now, I have to say, he didn't discourage that. He probably, in the beginning, thought it was good publicity. But over the years, it's become more and more and more of a caricature. And at the same time, has stopped producing this genius work, you know, the billion-selling songs and so forth. So he started out with this young boy who, with his family, had, you know, success as a musical group, the Jackson Five. And then as a young adult, going off and becoming a successful solo artist. Now, I can remember, you know, back in 1983, 1984, and, you know, I think Thriller came out in 1985 or thereabouts. I'm not looking at any reference, so you're just going to have to bear with me as I speak off the top of my head about this. But Michael Jackson, you know, he was putting out some pretty strong work. So people were willing to overlook his eccentricities a bit, and maybe even be a little titillated by them, as far as, you know, intrigued by this guy who slept in a hyperbaric chamber and built this private castle amusement park / zoo. And you know, people accepted it because he was a talented musician, an amazingly popular star. So his eccentricities were okay, and people just kind of ignored it. But as time went on, you know, what you've already produced, the best-selling album of all time, where do you go from there? You know, I mean, you can only hope that you would achieve half that success in future projects. And as it happened, he never did reach that height again. And it's, is that surprising? No, it's not surprising at all, because when you reach a certain level of fame, you can't go any higher. So, you know, after Thriller, what was he to do? Well, Bad was, you know, pretty good album in its own right, and it sold really well in its own right. So can you say that he was coasting on the success of Thriller? Well, maybe you can say that, but I do think that time in the mid to late 80s was the place where Michael Jackson had his best years as a creator. And had he not been quite the eccentric and the money waster, a big spender, he probably could have lived the rest of his life, you know, in luxury. Now, of course, no, Michael Jackson was guilty of some very poor judgment. The fact that he set himself up as this huge target brought people after him. In 1993, he was accused of molesting a 13-year-old boy. But they settled out of court for a sum that, you know, some say is up to $20 million. And I don't think that he actually touched the kid, at least not in an inappropriate way. And the reason I think that is because if I were a parent and somebody was molesting my kid, I would make sure that justice was done, and I wouldn't be looking for a payoff. So I think that, yeah, I don't think he did it. And I think that the people who were accusing him, you know, were the ones who were victimizing him. Now, the second time around, I'm not so sure. You know, it was a very kind of vague, you know, his word against his word kind of situation. But there wasn't enough evidence to prove it. So who knows, you know. But the fact of the matter is that when you pal around the way he did with young boys, people do kind of assume that you're up to no good, even if nothing is going on. And, you know, there have been plenty of the people who, you know, who hung around with him, like Macaulay Culkin and people like that, have come forward and said, you know, no, there was nothing inappropriate there. So I don't think that the Jackson has really gotten a fair shake, because he's gotten, you know, he had this reputation. Well, you know, he's responsible for that reputation. It wasn't all a fabrication. But when you're as big a star as Michael Jackson was, there's always people looking to get a piece of you. There's always people looking to tear you down. He deserves a great deal of respect, you know, for his achievements, because his music is real. The recordings he made is real. Now, I'm not a Michael Jackson fan. I've never been fond of his stuff. Well, not really. I mean, I was very aware of it because it was, you know, hyped to death, and, you know, it was played on MTV constantly over and over again. And I think a lot of people are, especially back then, I think we're really kind of over it by the time Bad came out. And when you're as overexposed as he was at that time, you really have nowhere to go but down. So rest in peace, Michael Jackson. I don't think that he deserved as bad as he got. But he did set himself up for it. You know, a lot of people have said, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. I don't really know that there was smoke. I don't think he was stupid enough to do the things that people keep saying that he did. I guess the truth will come out, and I think that, you know, now that he's gone, the feeding frenzy will begin all over again, and you might get a few people coming out and saying, oh yeah, well, he did this, he did that, you know. I don't know. We've already heard from some of the people who he was close to. We heard from, you know, Priscilla Presley, his first wife, who has said that their marriage was not a sham. Now, why would she say that? Why would she come out now and say that? Well, it probably wasn't a sham. They probably really did care for each other. Now, who knows what's going to happen? I do feel sorry for his kids because they're now going to be under this glare of the media. And they're going to be under a lot of pressure because they're going to be the center of a battle. Not maybe not a custody battle per se, but they're going to be always the target of ridicule, and they're always going to be the target of speculation. And they're all, you know, and a lot of that is because Jackson was so secretive. Why wouldn't he be secretive? So, you know, I do feel sympathy for Michael Jackson's children, and I really hope that they, you know, can get into a somewhat of a normal place in their lives. And who knows, you know, who knows about, you know, where they're going to end up. I can only assume that they're going to end up with members of the family, and possibly with their biological mother. I guess it's, I don't know if it's the same woman for all three or just for the first two and then the third. I don't know. but I do, you know, hope that Michael Jackson finds some, you know, peace. I'm not obviously a religious person, and I don't believe that there is any consciousness beyond death. But as long as we remember Michael Jackson and his work, I think that we're going to remember him. And I think as time goes on, we are going to think more kindly, or at least more respectfully, of the man and his talent. I can't imagine, you know, the same being said for somebody like Gary Glitter, because he was a lesser talent and a more obvious criminal. So that's about all I have to say on Michael Jackson, but it is interesting, and I would just hate to be Farrah Fawcett's publicist right now. Oh, completely overshadowed. What a shame. You know, Farrah Fawcett was one of those icons too. Now, her accomplishments were, you know, no less respectable. She was never as big a star as Michael Jackson, but Farrah had something. You know, she actually had this class that came across in her work. And I was never a big Farrah Fawcett fan either. I knew people who had the poster, the iconic Farrah Fawcett poster that came out, you know, when they started Charlie's Angels. I had a couple friends in high school who had this on their door in their bedrooms, you know, because Farrah was a big star too. So, you know, it's always sad when these people pass away at a relatively young age. You kind of wonder what would have come. You know, the fact of the matter, of course, you know, Farrah Fawcett was kind of not active anymore. You know, maybe partially because of her illness, but nobody expected that Farrah was going to live much longer. And Michael Jackson's death was a surprise to a lot of people. Now, it's interesting that, you know, some of the stories that are coming out now that people kind of expected it. And I think that's an issue that has to be, maybe will be looked into now more closely in the celebrity doctors who, you know, just are pill pushers, and the celebrities who get addicted to, you know, OxyContin and so forth, as Jackson was. So it'll be interesting to see how this develops. So it's funny how, you know, people obsess about celebrity deaths anyway, because I don't normally do topics on the show, and I talked a little bit about Iran in a few shows ago, but I try to keep the show more timeless, so that when people go back, you know, 10 years from now and listen to the early show, I could only hope that they would be listening to my show 10 years from now. Will I still be producing shows 10 years from now? Who knows? You know, but at least the old shows would still be available to listen to. But if somebody goes back and listens to my old shows 10 years from now, I hope that they would still be relevant. I don't know. I mean, is it relevant now? Who knows? And, you know, I do the show for my own amusement. I'm not some kind of a big star. I don't want to be a star. And I think that Michael Jackson might even be a good example of why I don't want to be a star. I'd like to be, you know, reasonably well known. You know, people who know me for, you know, my radio work or you know, whatever, my painting, or if I start acting again, you know, my acting, whatever. But I don't think I'd ever want to be a big star. it's this cult of celebrity that kind of surrounds people. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. You know, people constantly bothering you for your autograph. Maybe that's what drove Jackson around the bend. You know, when you're so huge a star and you just can't do anything, you're kind of trapped, aren't you? Kind of a prisoner. You know, to be somebody like me who, yeah, I'm a Z-list celebrity at best. I don't even consider myself a celebrity at all. But if you have to rate it, you know, I'd say a few people have heard of me. A few, very, very few people listen to the show. But, you know, if there anything that I can do to help people with the show, I mean, I want to do that. But I don't think I'd want to be famous in a as huge a star as somebody like Michael Jackson. I don't think I'd want to be that because I do like to be able to just kind of go. I can only imagine, you know, being mobbed and so I'm sure that, you know, very few people actually can understand that. And the level of hysteria surrounding certain people when they would make public appearances. And you'd have the superstardom where you just kind of can't do anything. The Beatles had that. And I'm sure that a lot of the other really big acts from the 60s and 70s can do that. I think there's a lot of celebrities that do kind of wander around in public and not worry too much about being recognized because they can just kind of, you know, shoo people away if they bother them. But there's some stars that are just too big to do that, and Jackson was certainly one of those. So he went off to live in Bahrain, where, you know, a lot of people wouldn't know him. Same as one of those things, you know. I'd like to have Michael Jackson's money, certainly, but I don't think I'd want the fame. You know, I think that's just, it would just be too much. But I've always been pretty satisfied to live a simple life. I don't really need that much. I mean, obviously, I don't have a lot of money, so I don't have a lot of choice. Money doesn't buy happiness, at least not, you know, I'd like to have Michael Jackson's level of riches. But, of course, that doesn't solve your problems, does it? All money really buys is freedom. Freedom to kind of do whatever the hell you want. But I don't need an extravagant lifestyle to be happy. And I don't, certainly wouldn't be this profligate spender the way Jackson was and continually having money problems as a result. I've never been rich and I probably never will be rich. I'd like to have, you know, be a little richer than I am now. You know, being happy with just a limited amount of things. Right now I have, you know, I have my computer, I have some books, you know, some furniture. A fan to keep me cooler in the summer. And that's about really all I need. You know, food, obviously. I don't really need to live an extravagant life. And if I think that, I've talked about this before, probably, and that if I were to win the lottery tomorrow, which would be a real surprise since I don't buy lottery tickets, I don't think my life would change that much. I wouldn't want it to change much. It would give me the option of not working or probably pursuing my hobbies a little more diligently than I normally would. And without the pressure of having to make a living, I would probably do more acting, more painting, more genealogy, all the various the hobbies I have. But I wouldn't want the fame, certainly not. I think that would just lead to more and more problems. So anyway, it looks like I'm going to wrap the show up now. Thanks for listening. And if again, one last attempt, if you are interested in having your tarot read by me on the next show, please contact me at harrispodcast@gmail.com, and I'll get your question to the cards on the next show. I'm a little surprised that more people haven't come forward wanting readings, but I guess that's just the nature of the beast. When you have a half a dozen listeners, not anybody is necessarily going to be interested in the topic at hand. But if you do want a reading, please contact me as soon as possible, and so I can get that on the next show. So thanks for listening, and from Tom Harris at Tom Harris USA, have a great weekend. I'll see you next time.